You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, what would we be saying today if Anthony Davis didn't make that shot? What would we be saying if the Cowboys did lose? What would we be saying if... ... Welcome to the program, Hour 2 on this Monday. Best and worst of the weekend. Your phone calls are always welcome. What you saw that you liked, you didn't like. The former Giant quarterback, Eli Manning, will stop by. We checked in with Reggie Miller from the bubble in the first hour. If you miss any of our interviews, you can always go to danpatrick.com. Reg talking about the Lakers up 2-0. And also LeBron James sort of creating this feeling, this atmosphere of, hey, I was snubbed by the MVP voters. No, he wasn't. Now, he might say it should have been closer. He knows that the Greek Freak was the regular season MVP. Although I still maintain LeBron was the better story, and sometimes the better story does win out. I thought it would have been a little closer, but the Greek Freak was the MVP. All right, tonight, Saints-Raiders. That's kind of spicy, although no Michael Thomas for the Saints, but the Raiders making their debut. You got 2-0 teams. Are you believing in the Bills, Ravens, Steelers, Titans, Chiefs, Packers, Bears, Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks? Seahawks pick up the win last night as they stopped Cam Newton short of the goal line, but it was still a lot of fun to watch that. You know, you start to look at the ending with Dallas. Dallas, they were going down 0-2 and then going to Seattle, where they're listed as a four-point underdog. Easily go down 0-3. The issue with that division is not anybody, you know, nobody's really that good, at least gives the appearance that they're really that good. And everybody in the NFC West is going to be competitive, it feels like. But what you have in the NFC East, the Giants aren't good. They lose Saquon Barkley. Washington, they lose at Arizona. They're not very good. Philadelphia, I'm not quite sure, but it feels like Carson Wentz and Doug Peterson are on the hot seat somehow. But then you have Dallas winning that game. They had no business winning that game. Here's Dak Prescott talking about the victory.
Coach McCarthy said at halftime, we need to be here. We need to be right where we are. And he said the final score didn't matter as much as finding out the type of men that we have, the type of fight that we have within this team. But as I said, to show the resiliency to go out there and continue to fight, continue at it, and just be able to come out with the win, it does so much.
And that might be one of those games you look back on and say, because of that victory, they got home field advantage or something. We tend to dismiss or erase what happens in the first couple of weeks of the season at the end of the year. And then you look back and go, wow, they lost to that team? Or, yeah, they somehow picked up a victory. Kansas City Chiefs, they were down, almost out. Justin Herbert, emergency starter there with Tyrod Taylor unable to play. They beat the Chargers in overtime. Patrick Mahomes passes for 126 yards in the first three quarters. He passed for 176 in the fourth quarter in overtime. Chiefs have now won 11 in a row, regular season and postseason. That's the longest winning streak in team history. Mahomes is now 9-0 in his career in September, 28 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Here is Mahomes after yesterday's win.
I mean, obviously, we didn't play the way we wanted to play, but to find a way to win. I think that when you get to the playoffs or when you get to later in the season and in trying to make these runs, not every game's going to be a blowout. Not every game you're going to be winning the whole entire game. There's going to be difficult situations. I mean, there's great football players all around this league. And so we have to find a way to win no matter what adversity hits us and no matter what situation we're in the game.
That's Patrick Mahomes doing it again. And the Chargers, I thought they were going to go for it. Fourth and one, because I would rather run the risk of not getting that fourth down than just giving the ball back to Patrick Mahomes. Because once he got it back, it was just a question of how are they going to win this game. This program brought to you by the great folks at Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com. All the parts your car or truck will ever need. Rockauto.com. A family business founded by automotive engineers in 1999. Two goals in mind. First, giving people direct access to all the parts information hidden in the computers and catalogs behind the parts store counter. Second, they want to make the parts affordable. They offer reliably low prices at rockauto.com. Choose the part brands, prices, features you want anytime. 24/7, rockauto.com has a lot of the parts you might have been told dealer only are no longer available. Parts delivered directly to your home or office. Don't waste time and money hunting for the parts. Go to rockauto.com today. Make sure you tell them we sent you. All the parts your car or truck will ever need at rockauto.com. McLovin, you said there was surprising results from the poll question from the first hour.
Right. Which 2-0 team is most likely to miss the playoffs? We're taking the Chicago Bears off that. So your choices were The Titans, Rams, Cardinals, Bills, Steelers, Packers, Seahawks, Chiefs, or Ravens?
Oh, Paulie wants to wager a guess here.
I'm going to guess Cardinals are leading the poll because of the Cardinals' history, not so much because of the Cardinals today.
All right.
Okay. Any other guesses?
I'm going to say the Cardinals.
Any other guesses?
Rams.
Ooh, Rams. Seton?
I could say the Cardinals.
All right.
Wow. You guys could not be more right.
Correct.
Yeah, it's the Cardinals. But yeah. Is that just because the NFC West or people don't believe in them?
Well, I think both, historically. And the NFC West, you know, the Rams are proving me wrong that they look a lot better than I thought they were going to. That's a good defense. I mean, it should be. You have two of the best players. You know, they probably have two of the top 10 defensive players in the game. They have the best defensive player. And then, you know, Josh Norman as well as their defensive back. Yeah, McClellan.
What about the wide receiver? How good is Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, Tyler Higbee, all those guys? I think they're fantastic. Underrated.
Higbee's starting to break out a little bit.
Robert Woods, like, he just always seems to do the right thing. He's so non-flashy.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
It's interesting, though. The Rams will not be taken seriously because of what happened a year and a half ago in the Super Bowl and last year. It's like the Rams have to earn back the way. Kind of remember a couple years ago after the Falcons got bounced against the Patriots? We stopped talking about the Falcons for a while because you don't want to be burned. Like, the experts don't want to be burned by them again.
Yeah, they just emerged because of the way they lost to Dallas. So we hadn't been talking about Atlanta at all. We went a whole year without talking about them. And then they come back and... I don't know if you look at the percentage of possible victory for the Cowboys and then you also couple in the Patriots, are those, they have to be on the possibility of winning a game the lowest in NFL history. And maybe Ethan can come up with some stats there, but I mean, it was minuscule the chance they had of coming back when they were down 20-0 in the first quarter. And then you go back to the Patriots. Who had a better chance in winning? The Patriots against the Falcons in the Super Bowl or Dallas against the Falcons yesterday? Because I'm going to guess those are two of the lowest percentages of in NFL history. And the Falcons were involved in both of them. Yeah, Paulie.
And like you said earlier, the onside kick is dead. It's just, I think it's down to under 4% are recovered.
And the fact that the Falcons controlled it, they didn't have to wait for it to go 10 yards. And I still... Like, it's mind-boggling because it's going in slow motion. It really felt like it was going in slow motion because I have the Cowboys going to the Super Bowl, and I'm watching this going, there's no way they recover an onside kick. It's virtually impossible. And then I just saw it spinning and spinning and spinning, and I think the Falcons reacted the way I did. They just watched it. Watched it. Wow, that is really cool, man. Wait a minute. We got to jump on this. And I went, you didn't have to wait for it to go 10 yards. Dallas had to wait for it to go 10 yards. Yeah, see.
And what makes it even more funny is the visual of all of the Falcons players doing that, like, arm spread, like, blocking everybody. Like, no, let it play, let it play. Like, dude, just fall on it. It's right in front of you. Fall on it.
It's not like
what the hell are you doing?
It's not like it's a punt. Where the team that's supposed to receive it gets out of the way so it doesn't ricochet off anybody. Like, right. Hey, get away. And like, it's a live ball. You could just, you could have gone over and just picked it up. You could have picked it up like kittens on the front porch.
But you know how sometimes when someone does something wrong, everyone else goes, well, he's doing this. I got to do it too.
Oh, yeah, like, he must know what it is.
Yeah, number 17 must know what he's doing. And I'm just going to stand here and look at the ball.
Oh, man. So Seattle is going to host Dallas next weekend, and Seattle holds on for dear life to beat Cam Newton. Here's Cam. He was stopped at the goal line at the end of the game.
Yeah, it was a great play by them. That's a play we had favored in the game plan. We ran it a couple times and figured, you know, this thing we probably went to the well too many times, but at the end of the day, still felt confident about it. We just got to execute. And I could have bounced it, you know, looking at the clip. I just got to be better. Just got to be better here at the end. And, you know, we put ourselves in a position to win. And, you know, when you do that, you got to finish. And we didn't do that today.
Still fun to watch. Cam's a handful there. Fun to watch. Paulie asked this question earlier in the show. By the way, Fitzy, what were you doing during the commercial.
I was doing a set of shoulder exercises with the barbells. Been known to have very puny shoulders, so I had a free moment to, I didn't know it was going to gather national attention, but that's what I was doing.
So 90 seconds of lifting should help you.
That should just about do it.
Pretty much get you in shape right there.
Eventually, we'll get there.
Good
yeah.
start.
Yeah. You got to start someplace.
You do.
Yeah. So 90 seconds of weightlifting.
I don't even think it was 90 seconds. I think it was probably closer to 30 seconds.
The Lakers got a win last night at the buzzer. Anthony Davis doing it in dramatic fashion. And this is what he had to say after the game winner against the Nuggets.
It's for sure the biggest shot of my career. And, you know, when I left, you know, I just want to be able to compete for a championship. And I know that, you know, moments like this comes with it, especially being in L.A. You know, I know the quote-unquote pressure is going to be on us, going to be on me, you know, especially the first year with everything that happened last year. And then also playing alongside Bron, I know he gets criticized more than, you know, any basketball player ever. So just being able to play alongside him, and he, you know, he kind of helped me with, you know, all this quote-unquote pressure.
Well, this quote-unquote pressure, it's just pressure. There's no quote-unquote, it's pressure. And he's got to be the best player on the floor. And if he is, the Lakers are going to win a championship. Yes, Seton.
Then once I saw Mason Plumlee on me, I was like, oh, I'm good. Just give me the ball.
Oh, and then I thought, I hit the Wayback Machine, and I thought, remember when Kyle Kuzma hit the game winner in the bubble, and it was against Denver, and somehow Mason Plumlee got lost, and Kyle Kuzma hit a corner jumper to win that game. And then last night, Mason Plumlee got, I think he screened himself, and the Joker, who was guarding the inbounds pass, had a better chance at blocking the shot or contesting the shot than the guy who was supposed to be guarding Anthony Davis. But Anthony Davis hit a big shot here, and that's what you need. I think we look at this as a foregone conclusion. They're going to get through Denver. People even look at this and go, yeah, should this really count? It's in the bubble, and they're, you know, they're going to be playing the Celtics or the Heat. Like, whatever it is to discredit LeBron, how about let's see if he wins a championship here, if he does. It's, people have this territorial feel when it comes to LeBron or when it comes to Michael Jordan. Like, nobody can penetrate this. You're not allowed in. LeBron doesn't know the password here. And LeBron, if he wins his fourth title, if he's the MVP again, you know, it's still rarefied air of, you know, that accomplishment. Let's just see if he wins the championship here, because you still got a lot of basketball with the Celtics and the Heat to play, and you're up 2-0 on Denver, but Denver should have won that game last night. So Saints Raiders tonight, Bryson DeChambeau wins the U.S. Open, and I think those are the headlines. But, you know, what he did on that course, and I thought over par was going to win, but it was, that's as impressive a performance on a golf course like that. And I know there's no, you know, crowd there, no fans there, but what he did on that golf course is not to be overlooked, because that is an extremely difficult golf course. And there was no drama on the back nine there. But his philosophy is the same. This isn't new. Now, bulking up the way he has is new. But Phil Mickelson told me years ago, because I said, you know, he didn't care about hitting fairways. He just wanted to hit it as far as he possibly could. And he said, I'd rather have an 8 or a 9 iron in my hand, and meanwhile, my opponent has a 7 or 6 iron, that I'm better with a 9 or an 8 than they're going to be with a, you know, 5 or 6 iron. And that's what Bryson DeChambeau does. That's what a lot of these young guys are doing. They just hit it. And if it goes in the fairway, great. Those are tough fairways to hit. And it was just who's going to be better out of the rough. And Bryson DeChambeau, that is an impressive performance. You can listen on our 362 radio affiliates around the country, including Fox Sports Radio. Our TV partner is Peacock. You can dial us up, best and worst of the weekend. We'll give you hours coming up a little bit later on this hour. Eli Manning set to join us here coming up in a moment. Let's go to Dan in Michigan, then we'll take a break. Hey, Dan, best and worst of the weekend.
Hey, man, I got two best. I thought Dwight Howard's performance on Friday night was epic, man. He just bullied the Joker on defense and took him right out of that game. And then my Bears going 2-0 Let's go. Come on, Paul. We got it this year. Let's go.
Oh, boy. Thank you, Dan.
Let's go.
I had to look at it again that the Bears were 2-0 because it's one of those where we kind of look at the marquee teams, whether they're good or bad, and then I had to look at it three times and went, that's right, the Bears are 2-0. Best team in the NFC, Niners, Cardinals, Rams, Seahawks. I guess people most would say Seattle after last night's win. It's a good team. And Russell Wilson's putting up big numbers. Now they're talking about MVP for a guy who's never received an MVP vote. And I made a case in the last couple of years, you could have given him the MVP with his value to that team. But maybe they're starting to let Russ cook. Yes, Paulie.
This is how Russ Wilson loses the MVP every year. I look back after week two of them last year, he was the MVP. He had like 10 touchdowns. But what happens is he's just consistent all year, September, October, November. And then someone like Josh Allen has 40 touchdowns and the Bills are 12-3. And they're like, oh, Josh Allen raising the lowly Bills to the AFC East. They haven't won, blah, 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 blah. And the storyline takes over the actual play. That's how it's been happening every year.
I'm trying to think the storyline that would emerge because it's not going to be Josh Allen. He's not going to have 40 touchdowns. Kyler Murray is really the interesting choice. Because we'll move on from Lamar Jackson. We'll move on from Patrick Mahomes for a little while. It might be Kyler Murray. If they're able to win, but that might be the toughest division in football. Yeah, McLevin.
How about a little Aaron Rodgers redemption?
Yeah, but he was just okay yesterday. Like, I don't know if he still has the chip on his shoulder, like the Jordan Love chip on his shoulder. Did that only last first week? I don't know. I mean, Aaron Jones was the star yesterday.
Yeah, but they dropped like two touchdowns. Like Vanda, like he was pretty spot on. They won easily.
Yeah, I'm just, you know.
If they go like 13-3 and Seattle's defense suffers, that's a problem for Russ.
Yes, John.
How about one of the guys you were most curious to see this season, Big Ben? Could he go on a big run with the Steelers and
do enough? No, Dak Prescott could win the MVP because he plays for Dallas. And if he puts up big numbers, if they win their division, it's Russ or Dak is how I would probably handicap
this
it.
This is how it starts. You media guys start talking about people other than Russell Wilson.
I picked Russ to be the MVP this year. Yes, McLovin.
And you're just counting out Mahomes and Lamar Jackson because they already won it?
Yeah.
Even though they're unbelievable so far?
Yeah. Well, Mahomes hasn't been unbelievable.
Lamar Jackson's doing whatever he wants.
Yeah, he's doing okay. Nothing gaudy yet. All right, let me take a break. Eli Manning, who has two Super Bowl MVPs. Yes, Paul?
Matt Ryan has 6 touchdowns, 1 pick, and his coach is about to be fired.
I know.
Jeez.
Put up some big numbers. Yeah, McLovin.
You know, Calvin Ridley is leading the league in every receiving stat.
Wait.
Touchdowns, yards.
Playing with Matt Ryan.
And Russell Gage is right behind. I mean, the Falcons are prolific.
And then Julio Jones drops a touchdown pass yesterday. Who brought it up? Would you rather have the... You know, I'm going to save this. I'm going to say that Paulie did. Oh, this is a Paulie special. Oh, the audience will love this. All right, we'll take a break. 20 after the hour, this is the Dan Patrick Show. Identity theft has become a big-time crime. You have criminal gangs operating units dedicated just to cybercrime. Certain behavior can make you more vulnerable to identity theft, and not checking your credit card or bank statements, using the same username, password on every account, never checking your credit report, oversharing personal information on social media. That's why it's great that there's LifeLock. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your information is being used, they will send you an alert. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but you can find out if your information is on the dark web right now, and you can do it for free. You can get a web scan at lifelock.com/scan. Pick the plan that's right for you. Save up to 25% off your first year with the promo code Patrick. That's a free scan at lifelock.com/scan and up to 25% off your first year with the promo code Patrick. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app. More of your phone calls coming up. We'll give you our best and worst of the weekend, what you saw that you liked, you didn't like. Two-time Super Bowl champ with the Giants, quarterback Eli Manning joining us on behalf of Yahoo Sports, mobile home for sports fans, offering live streams of local and primetime NFL games, the new Watch Together feature. We'll talk to Eli about that coming up. What did you do yesterday, Eli?
Yesterday, I had a busy day. I watched the Giants play. I had a home gate, which is a type of tailgating for the first time, you know, with my old teammate Sean O'Hare. But then, you know, went to the playground with the kiddos. So a full day.
We were going to go over under TVs in your man cave. Okay. So, Paulie, you want to set the line?
Eli loves his college football as well. You need a lot of TVs. I'm going over 3.5 is the over under. I'm going over 3.5.
Yeah, I'm
going
to go under. I think Eli probably 2 TVs in the man cave. How many TVs do you have, Eli?
Well, first I need a man cave to create this. I mean, I kind of have it. I've kind of created it. But you know, this is new to me. This is like, you know, I've never needed a man cave before. I was always playing on Sundays and gone on the weekend. I wasn't watching football all day. So now in this kind of next life, maybe I got to start figuring that out a little bit.
Well, if you want to slip away from the kids and the wife, you got to have a man cave. How many kids do you have now?
I lost count after 3. I think I have 4 kids.
You need a man cave.
I need a man cave. It's in the works. Okay. You know, we're starting to brainstorm some things now.
When you're watching the Giants play, can you watch as Eli from New Jersey, or are you watching as the former quarterback there?
You know, I think it's a combination. I think, you know, since I know the players, you know, these are my ex-teammates. These are my buddies. I, you know, have had dinner with them and I've had them to the house. They've, you know, I've watched them and some of them kind of grow up, I feel like, a little bit. And so, you know, I'm rooting for them. I'm rooting for the individuals. I'm rooting for the team because I've, know the Maras and the Tishes, and you want it for the fans. And so, I am pulling for him, and I do, you know, kind of, if there's a bad play, I cringe. If there's a touchdown, I celebrate. But the kind of the, I guess the best part about just being a fan and not having so much invested is that after the game, it doesn't affect the rest of my day. I can go to sleep fine. I woke up this morning feeling great and, you know, it doesn't linger, like it used to.
Did you ever talk to Peyton about broadcasting games together?
We have not discussed that. That's never come into conversation. Do you think that would be a good idea?
I was wondering, because your guys' relationship, it'd be fun. You guys, you know, definitely needle each other, and you know the game, and the timing would be great, I think, to do something like that. But would you be interested in doing that?
The only thing you know, about broadcasting that scares me a little bit is just the travel. I'm used to, you know, when I was playing football, you know, you had, half the games are home games. So you're kind of around Saturday, you stay in a hotel Saturday night, you're home Sunday. As a broadcaster, a lot of times you got to be at that Friday practice in the morning. So you're leaving Thursday or Friday morning, you're going all weekend with 4 kids and their activities. You know, I would just be afraid of missing so much of their life. And so, I think that's kind of the one thing that scares me and, you know, maybe down the road, but I think I didn't want to commit to something that was going to be so time consuming, so quickly right after retiring.
But do kids make retiring easier?
You know, I think it was kind of thrown right at me. You know, it's like right when I retire, and then a month later we go into a pandemic, and it's, you know, 4 kids at home, homeschooling, these Zooms, and it's like whoa. You know, if we don't go back to school, I'm going to go play for somebody this year. That only a Giant thing. There's a little asterisk by it saying not in a pandemic. I will go be a backup. I will go anywhere and maybe to get away for a little bit. But thankfully, they are kind of back in school, and I don't have to, you know, try to, you know, remember how to throw a football again. But it was some tough moments, but it is fun. But it's also good when they're busy and they are around their friends and they're in school and doing their activities.
When's the last time you picked up football?
I picked up a football since the last game, you know, which was what, December 29th or whatever it was for us last year. I picked up a football one time. I've thrown passes one time. A good friend of mine called me up and said, "Hey, I'm around your area. Can you come throw passes to me?" I said, "No, I really I've not thrown in 7 months." He said, "Please, I need you to come throw." So I went through them about 40 routes.
How long would it take for you to get ready to play again?
I couldn't play. I mean, just getting physically ready, getting your arm ready, you know, learning on offense, you know, there's no way. No, and I have no desire.
What do you miss most?
You know, you miss the locker room, you miss the guys, you miss, you know, the training, even training camp and just being there, the fun that happens in a locker room, the celebrations after a win. The plane rides after a win, you miss all like the good moments. You miss, the moments when you're smiling. You don't miss the losses. You don't miss, the Monday morning meetings after a loss. And just the toll it takes on you and our family after you experience those. So that's the toughest part.
We're talking to Eli Manning, the former quarterback, two-time Super Bowl champ. And you won two Super Bowl MVPs, didn't you?
I believe so.
Yeah, you did. And you got the one car that I know that I gave you.
You gave me. Yeah. Yes.
Do you still have that Corvette?
Well, Dan, I think...
Oh, no, you auctioned it off, right?
I auctioned it off.
There you go.
I received the little card that you sent to me that had, after I won the MVP, that you read off presenting me with the keys to this new Corvette.
Yeah.
That you were so gracious to send to me. So I auctioned that off for charity for the All In Challenge, going to, organizations to feed people who are going through tough times. So so the car is gone. I've shipped it off. A person from Denver bought it. It was not Peyton. And I gotta go. I'm gonna go visit them in a few months, and let them teach them how to drive that baby.
Wait, so you're gonna go visit the guy who won the auction?
Yeah, it was part of the auction. So he gets the car, and I'm gonna go visit for a little bit and drive around
Oh, that's cool.
And figure it out. And so yeah, so I'll go do that in a few months.
Tell me what you're doing with Yahoo Sports with the new Watch Together feature.
Yeah, I mean, I think now, especially where everything's a little bit different, you can't go to games, you can't have these gatherings. And so Verizon, Yahoo kind of got together and created this Watch Together where you can invite up to three friends or three family members or three anybody to watch a game on Yahoo Sports app. And so you can get any live, local, or primetime game and, kind of get that sense that you are still watching it with your family. If you had season tickets and you went with your, whether family or friends, and you went to every game, you can still come together and have those moments where you're not just sitting on the couch by yourself watching TV. You're kind of getting that interaction and on a live video chat. And I think it's a great idea. And, I think that's kind of what we're getting into these days in this world is more experiences watching the game from home. And this is what Yahoo Sports has done. So you can download the app. It's free and watch the games and watch your favorite teams.
You got to get a man cave there.
I got to get a man cave.
Are you going to have more kids? Are you done with four?
No more kids. No more kids. We got the three girls, and then we had the little guys, one and a half, and we're good. We're good to go. We're done.
Has Ole Miss offered your son a scholarship yet?
Not officially.
Okay.
Not officially, I don't think.
Hey, it's great to see you. I'm glad you're doing well. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Dan. Really appreciate it. Good seeing you, pal.
That's Eli Manning. Just turned 39 back in January. You know, you're at home with the kids. That'll make you get out of retirement quickly. Schooling. I hear those stories. I mean, my kids are out of the house, but we had four kids under the age of seven, and I was doing second shift at ESPN. So I'd go in at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, get home at 1 in the morning. I missed everything in the morning. So I wasn't there for bedtime. I wasn't there to get them out of the house to go to school. And I couldn't imagine four kids under the age of 7 at home during a pandemic. Yes, McLovin.
If you didn't know what actually happened and you just heard that interview, would you think that guy could have outdueled Tom Brady in the fourth quarter of a Super Bowl, like intensity-wise?
But he was never about that. And I remember when he was in college and I talked to a scout and he said he is completely different from Peyton, but he can be better than Peyton, is what I was told. And just said that the fact that his heart rate, EKG, like it never varied. It was just he stayed the same and they viewed that as a positive. Although you can look at, we tend to always look at these potential draft picks and say, oh, that's a negative. He doesn't have that killer instinct in him. But I think he does have it. He just is not demonstrative when he, you know, is on display. But you're right. You're like, he just seems so nonplussed about everything there. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, he seems like Eli, your neighbor. He's like your next door neighbor in the suburbs.
But Joe Montana was the same way. Like Joe was, if you're around him, you're like, that guy, Joe's not big. I'm bigger than Joe Montana is. And you're around him and you go, he looks like he'd be the kicker. In fact, I think they thought he was the kicker when he first showed up at Niners camp. Some people thought he was the kicker because he's slight. Steve Young, another guy, you meet him and you go, that guy's a killer? But he was. You know, it was just, they do it in a different way. They don't shout from the mountaintops. A couple of phone calls here, best and worst of the weekend. Cole in California. Cole, welcome to the program. What's on your mind today?
How you doing? I love the show. 510, 175. All right, so I'm actually sitting here in my classroom, so big shout-out to the teachers that I have to teach and had a lesson plan watching Red Zone. Best of the week was definitely Russell Wilson shouting out his old Wisconsin teammate who suffered a tragedy, James White. And yeah. I would say that the worst of the week would have to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside from my Eagles, who is constantly going to be compared to D.K. Metcalf. I don't know why, how he didn't draft him.
Yeah, D.K. Metcalf has emerged. Because, you know, he couldn't stay healthy when he was in college. By the way, I said Josh Norman, and I meant to say Jalen Ramsey with the Rams. And during the commercial break, I walked out and I said to McLovin, I go, I said Josh Norman, and I meant to say Jalen Ramsey, as having two of the 10 best defensive players in the league. By the way, Paulie came up with this question prior to the start of the show. Whose career would you rather have, Julio Jones or Julian Edelman?
Not who's going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, one guy's going to the Hall of Fame, and the other guy's not.
Right.
Yes, McLovin.
We've done this with Calvin Johnson and Julian Edelman as well.
Yeah.
I think Edelman can sneak his way in.
I don't think so.
Sneaky.
But if I said, whose career would you want? Julio Jones has one signature catch, and it could have been one of the great catches in Super Bowl history had the Falcons won. And he had that grab right by the sidelines in the deep end of the fourth quarter and to keep the drive alive. But Julian Edelman has at least two of the greatest catches in Super Bowl history, most important catches in Super Bowl history. Yeah, Paul.
Julio Jones has 800 catches for his career, 12,000 yards, 57 touchdowns. Got all the numbers. He's a 7-time Pro Bowler. Mm. He played in one Super Bowl. Played in about 4 postseason games. Edelman has 600 catches for 6,700 yards, 36 touchdowns. His regular season numbers will not do it. In the postseason, though, he's got 118 receptions in the postseason. Yeah. That's second all time.
To Jerry Rice.
Yep. He was a Pro Bowl alternate. He was a Super Bowl MVP, which helps a lot. And he's got 4 appearances in the Super Bowl, 3 rings. He's also got 24 Super Bowl receptions.
Yeah. Yes, McLovin.
I could trip up Paulie on this.
Well, let's take a break.
I got a good analogy that'll kill his argument.
Yeah, because somehow you guys are desperate to get Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame. and he's not a Hall of Famer. He's a great clutch player, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
Mac Football Hall of Fame, he's got to be in there.
I don't know if he goes into the Mac Hall of Fame. I don't know what his quarterbacking numbers were. All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls coming up, best and worst of the weekend, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app. We left off with whose career would you rather have, Julio Jones or Julian Edelman? It's Paulie's annual drive to get Julian Edelman into the Hall of Fame somehow, some way. Julio Jones is going into the Hall of Fame. McLevin has a comparison that will debunk this.
So if Paulie picked Edelman over Julio Jones, Paulie would never pick Edelman over his favorite player, Larry Fitzgerald, and Julio is arguably as good as Larry Fitzgerald.
Okay.
So how do you explain that?
I would absolutely pick Julian Edelman's career over Larry Fitzgerald in a second. Larry Fitzgerald's fantastic, first ballot, well-respected, all that stuff. Three rings over zero? It's not even that close. I want three rings, any way I can get them. And, you know, Julian Edelman is known as a clutch, great player, and he won't get one of those cool jackets.
But would you take Troy Brown's career over Julio Jones?
What, does he have two rings, maybe?
He might have two with the Patriots.
Yes, probably. The Hall of Fame is subjective and cool. Man, I would love a couple Super Bowl rings. Two's no fluke.
Troy's got three.
Yeah, so Troy Brown with three Super Bowl rings. Yeah. Look, I would not take Troy Brown's career over Julio Jones, but Edelman actually had these moments that are iconic moments in Super Bowl history. Like the catch against Atlanta, how he held on to the ball in the game against Seattle when he got blasted by Cam Chancellor. I still think he was knocked out. I think he was knocked out on his feet and somehow held on to the ball and stumbled to get a first down and kept those drives alive. Yes, he.
I have a career salary for Larry Fitzgerald so far at 180, whereas Julian Edelman still doing incredibly well at about $44 million.
Mm.
Which is still great money to have. I'd love to have $44 million in the bank, but 180 is...
Yes, McLovin.
I disagree on the whole format of this, because then you're going to say all these Patriots players have better careers, or you take their careers, like the right guard as compared to like a Hall of Famer, because the Patriots have won most of the Super Bowls.
Yeah, but I'm talking about somebody who did something in the Super Bowl.
Right.
You know, not an offensive lineman.
Right, but are you going to take Vince Wilfork over Aaron Donald? I mean...
No.
Paulie would.
But these are the marquee, these are the glamour positions, and he did something, he did it a couple of times. He was great in the Super Bowl. Edelman has been great in the Super Bowl, clutch in the Super Bowl. And, you know, it's like Lynn Swann became a Hall of Famer because of what he did in the Super Bowl. Those acrobatic catches, he was great in the Super Bowls, and he became a Hall of Famer. But the numbers are so different now. Like Edelman, if he did that back then and had these numbers, he'd be a Hall of Famer. But now, you got to get 1,000 catches. You got to have at least, 10,000 receiving yards, it feels like. And he's not going to get those numbers. Yeah, McLevin.
What about Dan Marino and how he compares historically? Because we had this, I said Dan Marino versus Trent Dilfer, obviously Marino, and there was some hemming and hawing in the room, believe it or not.
No, I would rather be Dan Marino. Like, Dan Marino's out of central casting, where you go, hey, we're going to have the good-looking quarterback, he's going to come in, and he's going to be the star. He'd be like Warren Beatty. In Heaven Can Wait, when he plays the Rams quarterback. Yes, he.
But there's a certain price to be paid for being a guy like Dan Marino or Charles Barkley is in the same category, where they deal with it well, but it would drive me insane to be asked about not getting a ring my entire life.
Yeah.
Like where you were supposed to, you should have, you were expected to, and then you didn't, and then once a year, every year for the rest of your life, you have to spend a week doing interviews about it? No thanks.
But he gets paid to do interviews about it.
Nah.
Would you rather be Eli Manning or Dan Marino? Go around the room. Paulie?
Eli in a second.
McLovin?
Dan Marino.
Fritzy?
I'm going to go Marino.
Seton?
I love Dan Marino. I love him so much, but I'd rather I'd pick Eli.
I would be Eli Manning. I won two Super Bowls, Super Bowl MVP twice, and I beat Tom Brady and Bill Belichick twice.
Yeah.
So that is the correct answer. A couple of phone calls. Cynthia in Montana.
You're just like McLaughlin Files there.
Wrong! Paul, your answer now. The correct answer is...
Cynthia, best and worst of the week.
First time, long time. I have two bests.
Okay.
The absolutely great article Pat Forty just wrote, Lambasting the Poor Nebraska Cornhuskers. If you haven't read it, it's a must read. And my second best is the Citadel coach telling Dabo Sweeney basically to pound sand when Dabo wanted to shorten the quarters when Clemson was ahead.
Yeah, I saw that. Cynthia, thank you. I'll look at Pat Forty's article. As I told people on Twitter on Saturday, Nebraska got punished. Make no mistake about it, the Big Ten, from what I'm told, my source said, they got punished. And the quote was, they got taken to the woodshed because the governor, the athletic director, and the coach, you know, everybody wanted Nebraska to go rogue, and they gave them a tough schedule. Like, oh, you want to play? We're going to give you a real tough schedule to play. Enjoy. But I'll see what 40 wrote. And I still haven't seen any confirmation yet on Pac-12 of when they're starting. But what I'm told is the week after Thanksgiving, because I was first told Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving, Halloween, and it's going to be a week after Halloween. So that's, and it's going to be six regular season games, and then everybody plays that sort of championship weekend. Everybody gets a seventh game in there. Richard in New Mexico. Hi, Richard.
Hey, Dan. 6'2", 180 out of Oklahoma State. I got my best and worst is actually the same thing, and it happened early in the weekend. It was Friday when you were singing to Don't Dream It's Over.
Yeah.
Just tuned in, and I heard... Dan's really going to sing, and I was getting excited, and then they did the intro, and then you did sing, and then you said, I don't know the words, and I thought, oh, he's going to cop it, and then you started singing, oh, yes, and then I was like, oh, man, this isn't very good at all, and then I thought, oh, well, I applaud him for doing it, is there earnestness there, and then you got to the hey now part, and it kind of went okay.
Wait, is there a compliment in there, Richard?
Absolutely. You're bold. You're out there. You're not afraid.
That's a backhanded compliment there. Thank you, Richard, because we know backhanded compliments here. We lead the league in backhanded compliments. Let's go around the room, best and worst of the weekend. Todd, I'll start with you.
My best of the weekend, down 24-0. Navy comes all the way back to win 27-24 on a last-second field goal at Tulane. My worst of the weekend, the Citadel in South Florida combined to lose by a score of 101-0. Granted, they were playing Clemson and Notre Dame, respectively, but come on, show up or don't even play in these games.
Well, Dabo says, hey, we can have a running clock. And the Citadel said, no. I get why he's trying to do it, but the Citadel is not going to ask for mercy here. I mean, it's a bad look, you know. And I know that you give them $500,000 to come in and be a sacrificial lamb. But, you know, when you go, hey, we can run the clock in the second half here. Yeah, McLovin, best and worst?
Best is my MVP pick. Russell Wilson. No, just kidding. Your MVP pick. Why do they need Antonio Brown? The dude's throwing five touchdowns a game. Why add him? My worst is obviously the Falcons.
Yeah. Seton O'Connor.
My best of the weekend was I was out at my son's soccer game when I got the alert that says Brett Favre shows up at Bucks Panthers in a Tampa Bay shirt. And I was like, oh my God, please. And so I click the alert, you know, where it takes you to the link. And I'm like, oh, please be the one. Please be the one. Please be the one. Wrong shirt.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So close. That would have been pretty epic.
Yeah. Your worst?
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. You guys are terrible. What a horrible football team.
And their coach is just melting down. Adam Gase.
M-E-E-S.
Mess. More best and worst, including Pauly's coming up, final hour. More phone calls as well. Seton Pauly, Fritzy McLovin. Yours truly here on the Dan Patrick Show.